Managing your home finances can feel pretty lonely, like when you look at your bank account and wonder where your paycheck went, or when the gap between your income and expenses just keeps shrinking. You might feel like you're the only one dealing with that. I'm Carly Hill, and on the Debt-Free Mom podcast, we talk with women and families about confidently managing your money. From saving to budgeting to caring for the things we own, we find practical ways to move from feeling stuck to stable with our money. Join the conversation on the Debt-Free Mom podcast.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it.
Hey, y'all. It's That Twin Mama Podcast. Lauren here. So for this week's episode, we're diving into a very hot topic of traveling with your littles, which is no small feat. Yes, pun intended. We decided to go with this episode. Honestly, as of yet, like as of late, my most viral videos have everything to do with traveling with littles, whether it's a vlog about me traveling with my twins alone or showing a window into what it looks like getting onto a plane with a screaming toddler. I like was totally not expecting it to have such a engaging reaction from everyone. Well, I understood why moms and parents would want to know about traveling with littles. Honestly, it's probably one of the most stressful things to do that they don't really prepare you for. Like, you know, like sleep you're not going to get, and you're going to like breastfeeding if you want to do that, and expenses. But I think I underestimated all the logistics and the things to prepare for when it comes to traveling with littles. So that's that. I expected the attention from parents. What I did not expect is for every Karen and Kyle to come out of the woodwork and claim they've never been a child, because they are totally offended by the presence of children in their vicinity. Literally, the fact that there is a child crying on a public place, and God knows that I'm just as anxious and upset that my child is crying. I'm doing everything in my power to appease my child. But they find that I am personally attacking them with having a child on a plane. Actually, they think that the child is at fault for being a baby and having no other forms of communication except to cry. So this is all to say, y'all, not to say that every person or passenger that is not a parent on a plane is going to be a complete asshole, but there's a lot. And so everything you can do of in your power to prepare for traveling with your littles emotionally, mentally, logistically is something that's going to make your life easier. And honestly, it's give yourself grace. There's certain times I've flown with my kids and it's been absolutely a dream. I'm like, yes, mom of the year. There's other times where it's been, you know, a little challenging, but I dive into this week's episode with a baby, toddler, twin mama traveling expert, Marquita Wright, and we talk about it all. We talk about things that you want to pack, what you can do to mentally and emotionally prepare, what we wish we knew, like even different products we use as we travel with our little ones. So I'm hoping that no matter how old your child is, whether you are a newborn stage or toddler or slightly older, that this episode helps you prepare for all that it is to travel with little ones, because it is a joy to bring your kids. It can be a joy and completely a stressful joy to travel with little people anywhere. So hope this helps. This week, I'm super excited. I have a very close friend of mine and an awesome person to follow, the traveling twin mama, Marquita. I started following Marquita, I feel like right from the jump, honestly, like my kids were like, your boys are older. My girls are two, almost three. And I was like, this woman is amazing. Basically, Marquita, she is at the Traveling Twin Mama. She helps women travel on their own terms confidently. When pregnant with her twin boys, she was consistently told that her wanderlust would have to end once they were born. In an effort to continue to do what she loves, travel, she was determined to figure out what a way to do both, travel and be a great mom. Now at the age of five, her twin boys have been on 50 plus trips, girl, by 8 countries. And similarly, she prioritizes momcations, solo trips,
vacations with their husbands, and girls' trips. She firmly believes that women can travel after kids with or without them in tow. Welcome, Markita.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here.
So excited to have you. I just love that, like, how you kind of just preface that you, it seems like you always loved to travel or had a passion for it. And then with your boys, it almost like it's different, I'm sure, but it didn't stop you. So I'm wondering, where did your passion for travel come? Where did your passion, how did you find the energy to continue to have passion to travel with your littles? And just tell me a little bit about you and how you've gotten to be such a wanderlust spirit and keep it as a twin mama.
So travels initially, so I wasn't like a kid that traveled a ton.
Yeah.
The first international trip wasn't until I was in college, and it was a study abroad, like literally in Mexico for 6 months, got my passport for the study abroad.
Wow.
My junior year in college, and didn't really do any other trips besides like one. But once I met my now husband, he lived in New Orleans. I lived in Charlotte at the time. And instead of just going to see each other, we would actually meet in a destination. That's kind of where it started, right? And then as it got more and more serious, then we would take international trips and different like things like that together. But it really went to the next level with my current employer, because I work in a global role. And so I was able to travel the world. Like my first week on the job, it was a training in Amsterdam.
Oh, cool.
And so then I'm in Amsterdam. And I think after that, I would travel internationally like 3 to 5 times a year.
Wow.
And domestically like 2 to 3 times a month. So I was traveling a ton before having my boys. And so once I got pregnant with my boys, people are telling me that I'm going to have to stop traveling. So not only does that mean it's going to reduce my wanderlust, but I have to change careers.
Ooh,
and I'm like, no, like, that's not happening. Like, I like my job. I get to travel the world. I work with cool people. I'm not changing my job. And listen to somebody that just never traveled. Like, you haven't left Louisiana, sis.
Right.
Like, don't. Clearly.
Yeah,
clearly. Exactly. Like, you're not the life that I want. So I most definitely won't be listening to you. And so then, it was a matter of just figuring it out. So once my boys, we went to their 3-month checkup, and I asked the doctor, like, oh, when can they start traveling? Just casually asking. And she was like, whenever you want. I was like, say less, sis. So at 4 months,
love it.
They were on the plane going to Milwaukee, where I'm from. So it was very like a, you know, flights I've taken for years and years, a place that I know. So the only pressure was getting them to Milwaukee.
Right.
And it's mainly like the stuff to bring, right?
Yes.
So that is
Let's get into that.
That was the biggest part. So that's what I would tell moms is like, if you want to travel with your kids and you don't know what to do, start with something you're used to.
Mm.
Like, go to a destination you've been to before, especially if you've lived there with people that can help you. And then that way, the only things you're thinking about is what to bring.
Right.
Unless you're in the United States. So if you forgot something, it's called Instacart.
Yeah.
And Amazon Prime.
Like, right.
You can get what you need. Like,
right.
You're not. So start like that. And then that's how you kind of get the groove of what else you should do.
Right. I love that because like, I think like the idea of like preparing to fly or preparing to travel with littles, like when you think of it, if you think about all the things, like it can be a little overwhelming or anxiety ridden for us. But if like you start small, like you said, like maybe go to a place that you're familiar with, maybe the flight's only like 1 to 2 hours, 2 to 3,
exactly.
Like, you ain't doing that like long haul flight. Right.
Yeah.
And preparing as much as you can on the front end with like what to bring, snacks, food, with all those types of things, and taking it step at a time. Like as someone that I do like get anxious easily, but if I think about it less like that, step by step, and the fact that we birthed twins, straight up traveling,
you can do it.
Like if you put it in perspective, you know what I mean? Like it's definitely doable. Okay, so you said that you first traveled with your boys at 4 months. That is wild. Mm-hmm. Like, tell me how, like, I'm sure at every stage, because I bought a lot of things from your page, just been like, okay,
hey, thank you.
Of course. I'm like, that looks great. But I will say like at every stage, I feel like traveling with littles can look different about what you bring and what that looks like. So bring me through like traveling with newborns versus like toddlers versus your boys now.
What's like the essential packing list, from strollers to baby wearing? Like, what do you?
Oh, that's so good. So when they were younger, and we'll say younger, like less than six months, because it kind of changes with that. Right. When they're less than 6 months, if you only have one child, I would say baby wear them.
Yeah,
bring a little stroller, baby wear them. I mean, for me, I'm like, oh, that's easy. Just child, you're good.
You shouldn't even say that. But sorry, singleton parents.
I know.
Yeah, just do it.
Like, tie the child up to the back and call it a day, right? But like, yeah, baby wear them. Then you have your stroller. You can put all your extra stuff in it. It makes it super, super easy. Like, people that have the little Laduna that looks super cute, right? Yeah. It's like, you got the stroller connected to the car seat, stroll that through the airport. And then I believe you can even put all of that stuff. If you have a seat for your child, you'll be able to bring it on the plane. If you don't have a seat for your child, then you have to check it. So that's what you probably have to decide if you want to gate check your doona. But I mean, for 6 to 8 months, I would gate check it.
Right. Did you get a seat for your littles, like when they were under 2 years, or what did you do?
So the only time I would do that was international trips. So when we went to Thailand, they were like one, and I got one extra seat. Because we needed something to be able to tag in, tack out, right?
Yeah.
Most likely they're going to be on us anyways, but at least once one falls asleep, or even if both fall asleep, we can kind of cross them over and then they have that extra space, right? So that's the only time we bought an extra seat. It's for long haul flights.
Yeah, that's what I'll say. Like, I think if you have it within your, so a couple things, I was cheap. So I wasn't buying my girls seats. Like, if I didn't have to, we were going to have them on the lap just because like that was the most affordable option. I'd have my mother-in-law or my husband travel. So when they were little, like when going back to like the baby stage under 6 months, or just like when they can't really do that much. Yeah. Baby wearing all the way. Like, either you're wearing one, your husband or someone's wearing one, you could double wear them. If there's no metal in your baby wear. Another thing that was really easy that I found was like, I could walk through security, which like I underestimated like the security thing, right? When I first took my girls with all your stuff, your stroller, like that was nerve wracking. I was like, dang, I wish someone had like gave me a heads up that like, that was going to be like the first big thing you did at the airport. Right.
You get straight there and now you're like, oh, you got to take the babies out the stroller. Yeah. And if you're traveling solo with two kids, like I have done.
Yeah.
Like,
what do you do?
You're literally like taking one up and then like having the other one up and be like, bro, you gonna have to close that stroller.
Yeah. Right. Like, excuse me, mister. Like I need your help. Yeah.
Full. If you want the stroller to go through, my friend, you're going to have to do it.
So you're saying like two. Yeah. And that's when you're solo traveling. So you're asking someone, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You have to ask someone. Or else I can baby wear one and then hold the other one. And then you need a stroller that's able to close with one hand. But with a double stroller, there's no double stroller that can close with one hand.
No,
they don't make those.
Yes, they don't. We need to find some. We should go into business and make something like that. But no, that's like, I think such a great point, because even so, shout out to you, Marquita, because like, I feel like I had a bunch of questions asking like, how do I do this by myself? Like, can you travel as a twin parent by yourself?
Because you can't see,
I think it's jarring. People are like, wait, there's no way. And like, it's different. Like singleton parents, like shout out to y'all too. It's hard to travel with kids at different ages, but there is something different about twins, especially little twins. Like it's just the whole beast. So you're saying it's possible. What tips would you give? Like you said, ask people for help. Make sure.
Come mentally prepared. So the first time that you think about going through security shouldn't be when you're at security. You did it wrong. Like literally I'm thinking, so I'm about to travel with the boys by myself to Miami. And I think through the whole process of like, what luggage am I bringing? Do I want to bring, so now they're old enough, like, do I want to bring a wagon or not?
Yeah.
Is the wagon actually going to help me? Maybe I will bring the wagon. Then if we carry on, we can put all of our luggage in there, our carry-ons, and I can fit their two, Pico car seats in it, and then they can just pull it. Like I am literally thinking, how do I get from, because most likely I'm going to be using a Uber, how do I get from the Uber, get all of our stuff from the Uber into the airport. So that's where the wagon comes in handy. I should probably bring the wagon. Okay. Am I checking anything? Don't know if I need to. Okay. Now that I have that, then that means I got to get all of that things through security. Like me, I'm not playing with y'all. I got clear. I just need, to get through, right? I got two kids. I know I get very like just not anxious, but irritated from standing in line. And one of my boys, he ready to knuck and buck. Like if he has to sit there and wait longer than 5 minutes, like you're going to have to give him some entertainment because the turn up is going to be real. So think about that too. Like if I am going to be sitting through security, what entertainment am I going to give my kid to keep them entertained while we're just sitting there for 10 minutes, we're nowhere to move, nowhere to go. So think about that. So going through security, getting all your stuff out of your bags, if you got to take your shoes off because you don't have pre-check, like all of that. How am I going to take my shoes off? How am I going to get all the things through security? What am I going to do once we get to the gate? Have we eaten already or do I need to buy food? What kind of drink should I be bringing? What kind of, like, think through all of that. And that's what I kind of say in my ebook. I give you a checklist of all of the things that you should be thinking about because it shouldn't be your first time of like, oh, the flight's delayed. What am I going to do?
Yes.
You should already have an idea of like, oh, I got these extra lollipops. A flight delay or the flight's delayed. I know they like hot Cheetos. Let's go over to the snack bar and get them some snacks. Like have a plan. It doesn't have to be written out. You ain't got to give it to nobody, but don't be shocked that the flight is delayed because flights
get delayed. I love what you're saying here because I feel like it's just so fruitful because two things. One thing you said is like, if the first time you think about security is when you get to security, boo, you done did it wrong. Like right off, like you should like, you don't have to go. We shouldn't assume like everyone's been on a flight, but you should have an idea in your head about like what to expect. And like Marquita said, prepare, like just like almost role play in your head. Like if you're bringing all these bags or whatever, actually pick up the bags and be like, is it feasible for me to walk through security or like walk through the airport to security? What's my strategy? Okay, I'm gonna have this on my back, have this here. And
exactly.
You know what? And another thing that me and my husband didn't do, but we really quickly learned that we needed to do this, was have like a system of who's carrying what. Like there was one time we almost left a bag. I was like, that's your responsibility. He's like, okay, cool. But like even talking with the person, if you have someone traveling with you, talk through, hey, you're going to be responsible for this. If you have older kids, yo, you are responsible for your backpack. I am not carrying it.
Leave your backpack if you want to.
Yeah, leave your backpack if you want to.
You can leave it there if you choose.
But you are carrying it,
and I'm not buying nothing else.
Exactly. So I feel like having an idea, preparing, role-playing, and even practicing with the type of stuff that you're going to carry through is so important to like, just, you can't prepare for everything, but that's something you can prepare for. Just the logistics of carrying what you got to carry. I think a second piece I would even say for us is that like the reason why I like baby wearing when I could, I mean, once they get too big, especially with twins, you ain't baby wearing anymore. But when you can, it's like you want to keep your hands free as much as possible. So
exactly.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. I love that. Like even when I travel with the twins, I would by myself, I would baby wear one and then I would have the other one in the stroller.
Yeah.
And so then that made it super easy for me to be able to at least have a hand like push with one side, do something else with the other hand. It just makes it a lot easier when you can do it. Yes. And even on the plane, like if the child is in your lap seat or a lap child, baby wear them. They're close.
Yes.
They'll be more quiet. You can nurse them if you need to. Like it keeps them calm. Like it really just helps the whole process.
Yes.
Of it,
yes.
Baby.
I love that. And then for me, like once I couldn't baby wear them, I would like have a stroller and I would keep that stroller with me for as long as I could, like up until like I got the pocket stroller through. Yeah. The gate check or even put up in the thing because you know, like that's like an extra set of hands or storage under there. You can get little carabiners and like clip on little bags. Like the stroller is another device to carry stuff, y'all. So if you can't baby wear, you keep that stroller and you don't take them out of the stroller to walk through. I mean, you want to tire them out, like let them run around, but have the stroller as the option until you get on that plane, because it just helps.
Definitely. Yeah. Because how else are you going to carry all that stuff?
Exactly.
And the biggest thing is, if you're frustrated, your kids feed off of you, right? So if I'm frustrated and I'm anxious and now somebody has to go pee, I'm like, why you gotta go pee?
Like, exactly.
Right, and they're just like, I just have to go to the bathroom, right?
Exactly.
It's very normal. But like, that's why you have to be as cool, calm, and collected as possible yourself, so the kids can be kids and we're not turning up in the middle of the airport.
Let's talk about that, because I love that. And let's talk about that, because I think it's something that parents forget about, just mentally preparing yourself and how are you going to emotionally regulate yourself when you're stressing out for traveling. Do you have any tips for parents who need to prepare their mental load for what is about to take place in travel?
What makes you comfortable? So do what makes you comfortable. So one of the reasons I got the GB pocket stroller at the beginning is because I found myself being very flustered when we were gate checking everything. So again, if you think about a double stroller, you're taking out two babies. Yes. You're taking off both car seats. You're now folding a 40-pound stroller.
Yes.
Like, now I'm trying to get both babies and the baby back on the plane. I was just always super hot. I was always hot.
Yes.
I was sweating. I was frustrated.
Sweat more when you're about to do something like going through security. I just start sweating everywhere. Yeah. Like, even more.
I was just like, this is too much. There has to be a better way. There has to be a stroller that can go on the plane. And so then once I found the GB pocket, I'm like, come on, we just we're rolling on. So even if I had to like baby wear one or hold hands with one, at least I have one GB pocket stroller and somebody's in that stroller, the baby bag's in that stroller.
I
have more flexibility and I can just go straight on the plane. I don't have to wait on the side. And while I'm waiting, trying to figure out where my two kids are going, it's just easier. So figure out what are your triggers? We all have triggers, and figure those triggers out for yourself, what you do like, what you don't like, and plan around them accordingly.
Yes.
And so then that way you can be as calm and comfortable as possible. And then you can have your attention more on the kids and not your personal needs, because you've already thought about your triggers.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I just took a flight by myself, I don't know, the other week. And I was like, this is vacation right here. Just like traveling with no kids. Like,
oh, it's so great.
You know, you get your wine, you can watch a movie. That ain't really happening when you have kids. So you just know that those needs might not be met. So let's just not do anything to cause extra stress, because you're not going to like sit and chill. Like, that is not
it's very rare that happens.
Very rare. Maybe if they're sleeping or something like that. But to do everything you can to hopefully prepare so you're not adding to a stressful situation, a potentially stressful situation, because we all know all the things that can happen when you're flying, like delays, this, that, you know, the other.
Exactly.
I want to go back to the GB pocket stroller. I know we're kind of jumping around, but I loved it. And I love that you named that, like, if you're a twin parent, you don't necessarily have to have like a double stroller or a double carrier. You can do both. Like, that's the versatility that you can have. You can wear one, put one in the stroller. You probably know which one is going to be more temperamental doing what.
Marley going into the baby wear, or he's sitting down.
Exactly. My twin B on my back. She likes it there, nowhere else. Like, that's what we do. I will say, I didn't find, like, I know there's like whatever converters you can get online, like to make like the GB pocket connector to make it a double. I've never done that, but have you found, I get this question all the time, have you found a good travel double stroller for the air? Yeah. It's just,
because the thing is, then it's not going to, literally going to be too big to go.
You're going to,
anyway. Right. Like on the plane.
Yeah. You got to gate check it. There's no double stroller you're bringing on.
So then for me, then that defeats the purpose.
Right.
I don't want to have to gate check it. It's the process of gate checking that made me sweat before I get on the plane.
I see. Yeah.
So for me, that wouldn't be helpful to have a travel double stroller that I have to gate check.
Right.
I want to roll right on the plane.
Yeah.
And so, I use the connectors, but then I found that the connectors weren't as easy as, because again, even with the two GB pocket strollers connected, I can't roll you on the plane.
Right.
Because the aisle is only so big.
Yeah.
So now I still have to like go on the side,
yes,
undo the two, and then roll you on. Like,
yes,
it's just that for me, it defeats the purpose.
Yeah. And I feel like it depends on everybody's different, but right. Like, so for you, you understood, like, I want to be able to be as easy getting on the plane as possible,
as possible,
as possible. So that means I'm going to find, like, I'm not, there's no double stroller that will allow me to do that. Therefore I'm bringing a single stroller, wearing one or what have you, when they were that little.
Yes.
I think for others, I've heard horror stories about gate checking with their stroller and it just got jacked up. So like, you also have to remember that once you gate check, it's going with the luggage and everything.
Oh,
else.
Yeah.
And strollers can sometimes, especially if they're lighter weight, you just never know. Mess up your stuff. And that would stink to now not have a functioning stroller at the destination that you're going to. So weigh your pros and cons. There's a ton of options, but I say this all to like figure out what for you feels the most logistically feasible and then make a decision to do that. We talked about how security is one high stressor, right? I think getting on the plane is another time one. When you're like, oh my gosh, I had someone random hold like Evergrace one time because she was just screaming. She wouldn't go.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And I was just like, and then
I'm
like, sweating.
Give me that baby.
And I'm like, here you go. So what tips do you have for families? Like as they're getting on, like, is there anything, have you learned the way of the world? Like, what do you think about getting on the flight?
So like when they're super young and they can't walk again, that is when I would baby wear at least one of them. Once they're able to walk, I can actually give them their own tickets and I let them scan
smart.
It and then I let them run. And it's the cutest thing. Like I have so much footage of them just like running down the jet bridge because it kind of helps them get the wiggles out. People find it extremely cute. They're
of
like,
course.
Ah,
yeah.
You know, and it gives me a second just to get my life together. So that is what I do. I let them go on and then they feel super independent. So like even at 18 months, they will walk themselves on the plane.
I love that. That's so
and
great.
Then I could then I can collapse the stroller battery. I had time to do that because now they're kind of doing their thing. They're happy. They're giddy. They're usually a lot more reasonable and listening to instructions.
Yeah. I love that. I feel like you're saying two huge tips that we like probably should call out. One, tire your kids out. Like if they're able to run, get to the airport early, let them run around, get the wiggles out, giggles out, because they can sit in and there's going to be a time where they can't get up at all. And the flight attendants won't let you. So get the wiggles out as much as you can, tire them out, let them walk. And I also think about giving them autonomy, like telling a toddler, just like we just kind of laid out, we want to know what's up, like thinking about what's going to be like through security, give them autonomy too. And be like, this is what's going to be happening here. Read a book about airports. If you can go visit, like do that, get them excited.
Yes.
If they're freaking out in the TSA line or whatever, be like, okay, on the other side, maybe we'll set a timer. On the other side, you'll get the special surprise lollipop. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, give them something to look forward to and don't feel like they, you know, toddlers, they want to be in control. You gave me the blue cup, not the red. I'm going to scream. Like,
exactly.
If they, the more control they can feel like they're having over the experience or what to anticipate or make it a game, make it fun, make them know what's to expect. I think the easier it is there too. And you just kind of name that.
Yeah. Indeed. And then they also know like what to expect and they're excited about it.
Yeah.
Right? Especially if they've never flown before.
Yeah.
So one, a good show is Super Wings talks about all things airport and they make it fun about, they may talk about a specific airport. They may talk about like baggage claim, what the luggage looks like as you're going through. So then that'll get them excited. Like, oh, look. So giving them that excitement and something to look forward to usually makes them happier, right?
Yeah.
So like, yes, we got to wait through here, but don't you want to get on the airplane? Like, you can't, like, you see the officer there, the officer won't let us go on the airplane until we sit here and do what he says.
Yes.
And then they're a lot more reasonable.
Totally. Like, that makes complete sense. And I also think about, like, let's say your kids aren't at the age that they can walk. You got a lot of stuff going on. You're traveling by yourself. Like Marquita, you had mentioned in the beginning, you looked at someone who's like, I'm going to need you to help with this. Like, that's okay. Like give it, like we were talking about giving yourself a heads up, giving your kids a heads up. When you get to the gate, give the flight attendants a heads up. Like they're going to say, like, you know, if you're traveling with kids 2 and under and you just go up there with all your stuff, they might not know what they're supposed to do or if you need help. What I've noticed is that they're not always that proactive. If you go up and be like, listen,
I need help.
I'm traveling with some whatever months old. I got this. I got this. I got that. I need help getting on this plane with all these things. Boom. They're going to be ready. Because sometimes they just kind of look at you like, what is she doing? And then like
trying to see if you can do it.
Yeah, they're trying to see if you could do it. And then you're kind of frustrated and you don't want to necessarily ask for help. And then there people are crying. And then it's just like, it's hard to even decipher what you might need. You don't want to get to that point. Just exactly. know you're going to need help and just exactly. ask for on the front end. I wish I had done that a couple times because it would have made like the process more smoother.
Easier. Exactly. Yeah. If you yeah. And it's nothing wrong with saying you need help.
Like, yes. There's nothing wrong with that, moms. That's like normal. Trust and believe. Yeah. You know, okay. So I'm going to get to some of the Q&A that we got from stories because people had very specific questions. One was around toys or like the type of toys to bring or things like that. I don't know about for you, but for me, like, it doesn't really matter that, like, I don't know if there's a toy that everybody loves, but I do know that if they ain't never seen the toy, dope. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
just, exactly.
Like saving something they've never seen. It could be just like painter's tape. It doesn't have to be anything fancy.
Exactly.
Something they've never seen. Is that, would you agree with
that? Yeah, I would say like something either new or something that they love and they don't play with often. So we had like specific travel toys at one point where they only played with it when we travel. Even now, they don't use their tablets at home. So when they travel, they get their tablets.
Girl, and that's so huge.
They're like,
And then, they love traveling.
And then my the night before, they get to go on Netflix and they get to download the movies that they want to watch.
Oh,
so they like
that.
They have something super fun to look forward to now that they love Netflix. So that can be like just making something that's specifically for travel or something they don't use often or something that's kind of nostalgic for them. I think that's what you should look for. Also, when you think about things that's just kind of interactive that will kind of keep their brain stimulated, that really helps. So like things where they kind of have to think or like put stuff together, that really helps them actually do stuff and kind of keeps them active and one like active in the sense of engaged, like their brain engaged. And then it can help them also like kind of get sleepy.
Exactly.
Like you've done your work. You know how we all work for a bit and we like, girl, I need a nap. It's
right.
The same thing. They've worked, maybe they've done some numbers or some coloring or some of this. And then it's just like, I need a break. And then that's when you get the tablet or the TV or whatever. And they can just chill out and relax for a second.
Yes. I totally agree with that. And like, even like, because there's like stickers you can put on the windows of the plane. Like that's like something like stickers all over the whatever that you can take off easily, or like coloring stuff where, you know, it's like those magic markers that don't get stuff everywhere. Something that stimulates them, something that they're doing, something they haven't seen before to do that. So it, you know, maxes them out the amount of time. And girl, you're great for not giving them screen time, really. Because my girls would be loving the tablet all the time.
Yeah, they love it. Like they try to sneak it, and I'm like, no. Like that is for travel. That's they get so to watch smart. Plenty of TV in their living room, so it's not like they don't watch TV. They watch too much.
Yeah, but like the tablet specific comes out. Okay, that's super smart.
So so they get screen time. They watch way too much TV at home in our living room, but you don't get the tablet. You don't get the autonomy of specifically what you want to watch when you want to watch it.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense.
Then that's when they're like, I have this tablet. Has that, so they get and they play the games or whatever, so they get really really excited. But I would also say, like, if you get stressed about thinking like, what should I bring my kids, there's plenty of resources. Like even in my Amazon store, I have plenty of toys and entertainment. And then there's also a company, I just got Mini Voyagers.
Okay.
So Mini Voyagers.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah, I love them. They do like little kits, so like customizable kits by age. So you say your baby is like from this age to that age, and she maybe gives 20 options and you get to pick 5 or 7 of them.
Cool.
And then so now you don't have to think about them. All of them are super engaging and they're easy and small to use. So then, I mean, if you don't want to take, you don't want to think about it, don't.
Then don't think about it. Exactly. That. Yeah.
Or simply go to the dollar store or go to the dollar section at Target and just get little small things from there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be super expensive and like curate
it. Right. It doesn't because half the time it's just like you can come and bring all this stuff and like they might look at the thing that costs whatever
the
for like
cheapest
2 seconds.
Thing is what they love.
Yeah, exactly. Then they're gonna play with Band-Aids. My girl are obsessed with some Band-Aids right now.
Exactly.
Like, okay.
Exactly.
We'll save the Band-Aids for the plane.
It's the most random stuff.
You won't know until you know. Another thing that people were asking about like was just like for if their kids are still in diapers or potty training. Have you been, have you dealt with potty training on the flight?
Oh, of course.
What does that look like? Cause I haven't gotten there yet.
So with potty training, my tips are, actually I just put a post on my website about the best, potties for traveling with kids.
Oh, okay. Noted. Yeah, so check so it out, y'all.
Yep, that's on the website. Mama. Yep, that's on the website. But what I would say is when I first get there, we all go to the bathroom. Everyone goes to the bathroom. I'm not too proud to have them still do a pull-up. Like if it's going to be a long flight, yes. There's going to be layovers. If it's not direct, mm-hmm. You're going to pull a pull-up on. Like,
right. Keep it simple. Fine. Yeah.
Keep it simple. Because one time I did it, we got off that plane and that boy pooped in his Ooh. Pants and I learned my lesson.
Lesson learned. Ain't worth it. That won't worth it.
Yeah, I learned it the hard way. Luckily, his dad was there. So I was like, here is your child. Yeah. Because okay. that stressed me out. I was like, yes. We Not literally it. Just walked off the jet bridge. I was like,
Don't be too proud to pull up is basically what you say.
Exactly. Do not be too proud. Like if you're like me, some people are like, oh, it's not a big deal. No, for me, that it's a problem. Yeah. So know yourself. If you know that's going to be a trigger, have your child wear the pull up. So what we would do is have them go to the bathroom before we got on the plane. They'll wear a pull up on the plane and then also carry, like get your see what your child like. So some kids are okay with using public toilets.
Yeah.
And then you can just get the disposable little paper.
Yeah. Yeah.
To put on there to make sure it's clean. Or you can get one of the just the toilet seat covers.
Right.
And they're really small. They fold up small. Or you can actually get like a portable potty.
Yeah.
Because some kids don't want to use big potties.
Right.
So know your child. And if you're going to use a portable potty or even a portable toilet seat covered, it shouldn't be the first time that they used it was at the airport.
Yeah.
Try it at home.
Right.
See if they like it. Give see if it pinches up. Their butt. Like,
yeah.
You know, some of the, see if it's stable enough for them. Like, get them comfortable with using it and travel with it. That's the biggest thing. Like, don't be springing stuff up on people.
Let them get the heads up, y'all. You know, we don't even like to be sprung up on stuff.
Right. You're like, girl, I never used that. Right. Like, imagine, right? So, like, if you can get them comfortable with it, I would recommend doing that. And then, that was the only time that we had issues.
Right.
When he pooped on himself, but it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah. Cause I was like, I'm like anticipating the potty time because I feel like for the most part with like little kids, like when I would always change them right before takeoff. Right. I'd try and bring like some sort of puppy pad or like changing pad. Cause they do have changing tables normally
on the plane. Yeah.
So y'all can like make sure if you need to, you can always change if they have an X that you can change them, their diaper. If you want to bring something like a puppy pad or something, so they don't have to touch the actual changing table, that's what you bring. And then another thing we did on long flights, like we went to Hawaii and they were still in diapers. I changed them right before they went on and I put an overnight on just in case, just to like minimize the discomfort they have between the pees. So yeah. Treat it like, you know, make sure you come prepared. You might need to go a little bit of an extra mile, whether that's a potty training kid wearing a pull-up for a long flight or not an overnight like flight, but like you're putting on an overnight diaper. Just try and get them as comfortable for as long as possible. So you don't have to get up and deal with all that.
Exactly. Like, why make it hard on you?
Yeah.
Switch the pull-up to the side. Put on a pull-up.
They'll be fine.
They'll be okay.
Okay. Another question I had was around road trips, not just planes, but like, did you have any tips for long road trips? I think people were asking about what toys. This one woman had like a 10-hour flight coming up, 10-hour road trip coming up. And she was asking about toys and snacks. And so what do you have? Is it different than a flight? Like, do you have advice on that? Have you done
a road trip? We've done road trips. I'm not a big road trip person.
Yeah.
So I was like, we did road trips. We evacuated from a hurricane. It was
in
a car for like 10 hours with kids because the interstate was backed up. But we've done other road trips. But that was the worst because everybody was on alert.
Right. Yes.
So high stress. Then a lot of it is snacks. snacks, like more snacks than you would even do on the plane, because now you're able to give it to them. Like, snack is king. We had always a lot of snacks. And then also they have like these little, you can buy the back of the seat little organizers or organizers that go in the car seat or in between two car seats. And in that, they can have their different toys. Yeah. They can have their snacks in it. Especially once they're like 18 months, 2 years old, they can reach and get what they want themselves. Cool. Then that way they can kind of self-entertain either with the pocket in front of them or the little caddy on, in the middle or on the side of them. And then that's what they can do. But the toys don't necessarily look different.
Right.
It would be the same toys. It's more of how do you organize it, especially if you're not sitting in the back seat and you don't want to be reaching back every 2 seconds. The other thing I would say is, if possible, and if you don't have a minivan, rent one. Because 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds are loud AF.
Yes.
My car is small, so all I heard was them yelling in the back the whole 10 hours.
That's one thing I wish I knew as a twin mom, because your girl thought I wasn't going to have a minivan. I was just like, I'm not going to get a minivan. I'm cool. So we got the Subaru, which is like still has three rows. Anyways, we should have got a minivan. Like, I have an oldest that's 13. And so we have the twins. Anytime we go anywhere, if the stroller's in the car, my poor 13-year-old is just like this. We can't have no luggage. It's just like, we're getting the minivan next, y'all. So just humble yourself. They got cool minivans out there. It makes life a lot easier, especially if you got twins.
Yeah. And cool, I was just like, even if you're just rent it that way, because their row is far behind you.
Yeah.
And maybe if you have like a Tahoe or a Subaru, I have like an Infiniti small little car. So they are literally
right behind me. Kicking. Yeah.
Kicking, loud, fighting over toys.
Yeah. Lord Jesus, I'm gonna get a minivan.
Yeah, we rent for road. Like, if we have a road trip, we try to rent a larger vehicle just so everybody can have a couple of square feet to themselves.
Yeah. Yes, I hear that. I hear that. So, like, yeah, more space is great. Snacks are king. So snacks are king, I think, whether you're driving or flying, like the infinite amount of snacks, but it sounds like even more so when you're driving, just because
now you can bring more.
You can bring more.
And especially if you're with, because like when you're at the airport, you can buy snacks. You can buy And you can get snacks on the plane. And it depends if like the driver is willing to make multiple stops. And okay, cool. But some people want to have these children in cars for 8 hours and not stop, you know, or 6 hours and not stop. Well, if you're trying to do that, you need to bring all the snacks.
You need to bring all the snacks. I feel like, okay, so we've been on a few road trips, and two things that like really worked for us was a stop could be like a whole hour. Like, it literally every stop when you get all the kids out, my oldest is like in there lollygagging, trying to find some snacks. I'm like, boy, get your butt in the car. Like, and then you filling up gas. People are like, oh, there's a Chick-fil-A off of this. No. So I'm just saying, the minimizing the stops on a road trip, like, you could be out the car for straight up, like, it could add an hour to your trip. So another reason why to bring snacks is to minimize that, because like the longer you can stay, not get off on the highway, it's just easier for to get to your destination. I will say, for us, we did a lot of overnight drives. My husband's good at that, but that's not for everyone. But my kids would sleep. So, you know, like, we get in the car Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving, when most people have gotten to work, especially on a big travel weekend, like a Thanksgiving and Memorial Day. And we'd go like late at night and get a little traffic at the beginning, but then there's nothing. The girls just slept and it was nice. But you know, not everybody can do that. Not everyone parents the same way after not really sleeping. So it's up to you, but it's not that something that worked for us. Have y'all ever?
Yeah. So I think sleepy time, I think flying during sleepy time and road trips during sleepy time is the best, because their body cadence is already wanting them to sleep naturally.
Yeah.
So trying to plan around that is optimal. So I most definitely agree with that. I also would say that if you can be strategic and plan your trip and plan your stops at a place where you know your kid can burn energy. So like, stop, like, I know off of this interstate or this exit, there's a park. So, okay, stop at the park. And if you're going to take the hour break, at least now that they're at the park, they're really burning energy.
Yes.
They can do their slides. They can do that. So then it kind of gives them something to look forward to. Like, okay, girl, you got one more hour.
Yeah.
We're going to stop at the park. Like,
yes.
Relax for an hour. And then mommy's taking you to the park. So it gives them something to look forward to as well. That really helps just calm everybody's nerves.
Yes.
Or we're going to stop at Chick-fil-A. My kids, they only usually get Chick-fil-A on travel days as well.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A is a big treat for us too.
Yeah, like, so it's like we're going to stop at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get their act together.
Exactly. No, that totally makes sense. I love that. Yeah. Sleepy time. Yeah. Forgot to say that the windows of sleepy time are best, I think, if you're trying to book travel. They may or may not sleep, but it's just a better chance.
Their turn up is not here.
Their turn up is not there. Exactly. And then one mom had asked, I think we might have missed it, but one mom had just asked about twins on a plane and when they're in lap babies. They're, so for us, I didn't know that. We got away with it somehow, but we had two lap babies in the same aisle once or twice. But then we were told a few times that you weren't. And so the question was, is that allowed or not?
Yeah. So the only way that you probably should have gotten it, if there wasn't another person, like your row wasn't full.
Oh,
there was an empty seat.
I see. Yeah. Okay. That is what happened.
There's an empty seat. So in every row and every side of the plane, there's only one additional oxygen mask. So if you have two babies on a full row, which child are you not giving the oxygen mask? So you're going to have to choose your favorite child on that day.
Not the favorite. Be like, yo, twin B, you turn it up. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, that's why. So there is a real safety reason. I thought they were trying to be difficult.
No,
okay.
There's a safety reason. Twin B ain't going to get oxygen on that day.
Y'all going to split it. Y'all split a lot of things. This is when you're going to share the oxygen, y'all. No.
That is why.
Okay.
And so maybe you looked up, that happened to us. We looked up that our row wasn't full the first time.
Yeah.
And so then all of us sat there. And then the next, because it was a layover, the next one, the girl was like, oh no, you got to move. And I was like, sis, we were just on the plane with all of us. She's like, there had to be an empty seat. And I'm like, you're right.
Because that's what happened with us. I was like, y'all just being difficult, but that makes a lot more sense. So then I would suggest then, if you can't like be in the same row, do you do two aisle seats? We try to do two aisle seats.
We usually do two aisle seats. Yeah. That's what we normally would do. And even now, it usually is, if we can't do two aisle, then one parent is, we're playing rock, paper, scissors to see which parent is sitting with the two kids.
Right. Oh my gosh, didn't that be nice?
Because usually it's my husband on the side by himself. I'd be like, not today,
Not today.
You're sitting in a row with your children. Right,
I'm taking a break. Yeah,
watching the movie,
and watching my thing. Okay, so yes, plan accordingly, y'all. But that sounds like a real life. Yeah, oh, I love it. Okay, so a couple more questions that people had asked was like, any advice that you would give to someone thinking about their first trip with littles? Like they're not sure if they want to. What advice would you give a mom or dad trying to?
Just first of all, just do it, mm-hmm. but don't be crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't go over to Thailand for your first trip with your children.
Yes. Yeah, don't be jumping continents. Maybe not yet.
Yeah. No. Go somewhere that you've been. I know I said this earlier, but really think about the destination and the flight. So I would try to do a direct flight and or someplace I've been to, a route that you've been on, like, make it as predictable for you as possible. Everybody ain't got to learn in this experience.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like what you're learning on your first time, the real thing is what you need to bring for your kids,
mm-hmm.
and what makes it work for your family. Like that should be what you're focusing on, not all of the stuff with the flight, right?
Yes.
So go somewhere comfortable, go somewhere you've been before. If not, you know, do a direct flight, do an all-inclusive hotel that's super kid friendly, that has the kids club and the cribs and the this and the that.
Yes.
And so then at least you can be like, let me figure out what works for us. And then we can come a lot more adventurous after that.
I love that. And I'll also say too, because every family is different. Every person is different. Every child is different. So if sis, like this ain't your season, like you see whomever online going here with their kids and there with your kids, like, man, I should do this summer. Don't try to compete or compare. Like if it's not your season to do this, cause you just know it's just, I can't do this with the twins right now. I'm going to sit my butt home and we're going to wait a couple more years when I can handle it.
Exactly.
Fine. You know what I mean? Don't feel pressure. If it's just not you, do local stuff. Like go
cool.
Like go somewhere. Kids don't really know. Yeah. Like, you know what? They're going to have a good time. You can do the summer of local things and you don't necessarily have to get on that flight or do that long road trip if it's going to be too stressful for you and your family.
Exactly. Do what's best for you guys.
Like, do what's best
for
you.
And that's what's key. Like, learn what works for you.
Yes, 100%. And then another last question that we got was how important, I love that you even put this, like, as you were talking about the travel that you do, but how important do you find it is for mamas to take travel away from their kids?
Oh, I love it. It's my favorite type of travel.
Girl, I told you I was on the flight. I'm like, this is the vacation, just being on the flight.
Yeah. Okay. So I take annual momcations. We try to do annual vacations. I do annual girls trips. Like, my travel does not change because I had kids, in the sense of me doing solo travel or travel without them. They, now that they're older, they get pissed though. They're like,
where you go?
Where did you go?
Yeah.
Oh, so where are we going?
Yeah.
Like, right? it's a quid pro quo. Like, if I go somewhere, then now we have to go somewhere with them. Yeah. But I think it's great because then that allow for me, traveling by myself is the truest form of what I love to do. And that's when I feel my truest self. So I think it's important, if it's not travel, whatever you love to do before kids, find that girl again.
Yes. Ooh,
whoever she may be.
Yep, whoever she is.
Whoever she is, try it. And maybe you don't like it anymore. That's totally fine. But at least try it, because you have to have that time for yourself. You cannot pour from an empty cup. You got to figure out what makes you happy and gives you balance and gives you peace, and do it. If there's a will, there's a way. You can figure it out.
100%. Like, there's so many moms, you ask like what type of mom you are and they know. It's like, well, then what are your hobbies? Who are you as a person? Like, wait. Mm-hmm. What? Like,
exactly.
You know what I mean? And like, you forget, like, so like you said, like traveling for you, that feels your spirit. Like, you feel like yourself. But maybe it's someone that like used to dance or sing or would go to comedy shows or do whatever you used to do, but get back to her because she's important.
Very much so. And like, more important now, right?
Yes. So important now. And because your kids are watching, like, you'd be surprised that like prioritizing yourself and understanding who you truly are. Your kids remember that. They remember your sense of happiness. They remember your sense of identity when you know it truly, and you're able to lead and be a mother in a different way. I feel like we should end on like that analogy of like with the daggone oxygen mask, like on a plane. On the plane, they tell you to put on yours, right? Before assisting others. And that's literally because you can't fill from an empty cup. If you ain't got no oxygen, sis, who are you going to be as a mom to them? Bye.
100%.
Did anybody share an oxygen? Anyways.
And then they also need to know, like, they are independent people. They don't need you for everything. They have a whole village of people who love them and support them and want to be around them and appreciate them and need them. Like, I think it's very important to give other people that opportunity to be with your kid.
Yes.
In addition to your kid, get the opportunity to learn. Like, they have the time of their lives with other people. They get to eat all the snacks, taking them to McDonald's.
Right.
They're doing all the things, right?
And they building those relationships too. Yeah, exactly.
It's important. Like, if you think of a person, you have more than your mom or your dad that you have a relationship with. So give them that chance.
Yeah. Use your village. Let them find theirs, right? It can't all be you all the time, sis. It just can't.
That is too much. That's too much pressure on one person.
It really is. Well, Marquita, thank you so much. She is at The Traveling Twin Mama. If you all want to go follow her, she has some eBooks and also Amazon store with a bunch of resources that you can use for traveling with littles. But thank you again for chatting with me today, sis.
Yes, of course. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Until next time, y'all.
Peace.